turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is Advent Sunday, and this Advent Sunday is today about Mary. I've done now 18 of these. I've looked back on them. I've never used an outline twice, but as you would imagine, these passages are somewhat familiar to me and to you. And I chose as my title a little title there that Suzanne said I'd probably get in trouble with. And I said, well, I guess so, but let me wing in a prayer, try it, okay? the title of the sermon is Mary was God's girl. And I'm continually amazed by her. Turn with me in your Bibles there as I introduce this. The title is not meant to be dismissive or trite. The passage before us today presents Mary as someone very, very special to God. And I want us to consider why that is so. Thinkers in this postmodern enlightened age don't take too kindly to a discussion like this. You know, you're better than somebody else. Or God has special favorites, right? Oh, that's virtue signaling, and we don't want to do that. Well, I'm sorry. In the Bible, there's lots of people who are really important to Him, and He praises for what they do. He holds them up in front of us and says, this is what I want you to be like Jesus Christ, our Lord, like David. Oh, do you want to believe me? I'd like to be like David sometimes, but at other times I don't want to have anything to do with him, but he's a human being, and overall, he's a man after God's own heart, and he's somebody that you can be like. There's nothing wrong with winning a trophy in the grace for righteousness. We used to reward children for the number of Bible verses they read, and in the homes, the fathers really made a big deal about the advancing of their children's understanding of the gospel and found ways in the home for the dad to say, in front of everybody at the conference table, Johnny, you memorized 16 verses today. That's really good. Now, kids, I want you all to be like Johnny or Susie or something like that. See, we don't do that anymore. It is good to memorize Scripture. It is good to be a holy person. It is good to make the right decisions in life. And it's good for people to know about that. It's bad for you to go, well, you know, I'm granted, that's true. But we should recognize goodness when we see it, praise it, and propose that it's a good thing to do, to be like that. God, in this passage, distinguishes this woman from all others in ways that are phenomenal. There are ladies, that Mary has been ennobled that neither you nor any man in this room can ever equal. And it's laid out before us beautifully in the passage. So this morning, I want us to look at this young, unmarried, and virginal girl in our passage and see her as indeed someone really exemplary. And that we say that because it is exactly what the Bible says about her. So turn to Luke chapter 1. And there's verse 26. God's Word. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she explained, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Thus far, the Word of God this morning. Father, help us as we briefly kind of touch a few parts of this passage. In Christ's name, amen. What made Mary great? We could be led to believe that what made Mary great was simply the fact of God talking to her, and that's true. The idea that the Father, the God of all the creation, would appear on that day in history when there were guys walking on the Great Wall of China, guarding China. There were civilizations around the Indus River Valley. The mound builders in North America were up there in Ohio, places doing their things. The people down in South America were doing things down there. Of all those places on the face of the earth, the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, opens the partition between our reality and the heavenly reality that is there, and he sends this angel, Gabriel, to talk to a virgin girl in the middle of Nowhereville in Israel. It's amazing. That in itself is stunning. We don't have six chapters of Mary's life ahead of this. You know, well, Mary was born, and Mary, you know, she had a good husband, a good father and mother, and they went to the synagogue every day, and she knew the Bible backwards and forwards, and she went to the women's group all the time and was a great giver of good deeds. There's none of that preceding what happens here. All we know is she is at that moment, and she's a woman, and she is a virgin female. Please, I keep hoping we're another 50 years past that liberal idiocy, liberal chicanery, that robs this passage of what it's saying. She had not ever had sexual relationships with anybody, anytime, anywhere. That's what it says. You see that from her own statement. She says, I don't have a man. So what is she saying there? We know what it says. It is liberal nonsense of the 19th century, and the early 20th century, throughout the 20th century, that's led whole hosts of the church to believe that somehow or another, you know, they don't believe what Mary says. Is anything, the angel says, is anything, with God, no things are possible, or are impossible. And so she is just a little nobody in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a place called the kingdom of God at that time, the land of Israel. And what he says to her when he walks into the room is, greetings, you who are highly favored. If you walked into a big restaurant here in town and the maitre d' walked up to you and said, oh, we're so glad you're here, come, you'd immediately know that you're special, you're favored. Only here, It's one of the chief archangels of heaven. There are tens of millions of angels in heaven that are around the throne praising God all the time. Read the book of Revelation, chapters 1, 2, 3. That's what goes on. And here he is, and he says to this girl, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And she's troubled by that. And she wonders what kind of a greeting this might be. It's almost like, okay, I'm glad. I think, what is all this about? The humanity of this passage is amazing. It's as you would imagine, you yourself, if an angel appeared to you and said that, you'd be going, you would know because you're a Christian, this means something. And it means I'm involved in something and there's going to be a downstream here that I think I need to get ready to hear. But the angel says to her, don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. Didn't say you have earned favor with God. Did not say you've done a good job at your Bible studies and you've been to synagogue, you stood in back of the screen while the men were down there studying the Bible and you didn't laugh at them, you know. You were a good girl. You did none of that. You've walked into the favor of God, like that day that guy invited me to a place down in Fort Lauderdale, and I walked into something and was favored by God, by a gospel presentation. This lady in her home, she took me into me and 15 others into the big bedroom and had a big, she changed her pictures on the walls to have chalkboards, and they chalkboarded for 45 minutes, an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, the gospel story from Adam and Eve, you know, to the flood, to all this kind of stuff, to Jesus hanging on the cross and this young hippie wacko. At that moment, I was being favored by God as a sinner who needed to hear the gospel. It's that kind of favor we're talking about here. I'm in the presence of someone who's going to change my life, who can do anything he wants to in that direction. And then he gives her the good news. You're going to be with child and have birth to a son. And ladies, I can't appreciate that like some of you, all of you can. I've heard women talk about this. If you're standing there and you're 13 years old, and an angel appears to you and says, you're going to get pregnant, what's your response? The girls tell me, terror. The girls tell me, what? What? You know, I'm not finished with high school yet. You know, wait a minute. I don't even know what you're talking about. Mary's no different. How will this be, she says in verse 34. How will this be? She's thinking naturally like all of us would because I've never known a man. I'm a virgin. I don't have a man. And the angel says, well, you're out. I got to go find somebody else to just blindly follow me. No, he doesn't do that. He engages her in this discussion. And the more he says to her, I don't know about you, but I would be sitting there going, my heart would start to beating, you know? Because he's saying things like, the Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, she would have been in her mind going back to Isaiah or Ezekiel. The Holy Spirit, I remember that. There's this power of God, you know, and he's going to be called the Son of God. This story is in the Bible in a most beautiful way. The Greek text of Luke's rendering of this has all the signs of being a translation, heavily laden with markers that say everything you see in these first two chapters comes from a Hebrew or Aramaic source. And interspersed is that little phrase throughout the Christmas narrative, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The reigning theory is that Mary is the one whom Luke interviewed as one of the eyewitnesses he talks about in the first chapter of Acts. And so he's sitting there listening to Aramaic, laden with Hebrew when Bible, or Septuagint, when Bible quotations are being done, and he's literally rendering to us the ponderings of Mary's own heart as he renders this to us. And so when we come to this last statement in verse 38, After she hears the whole proposal, she says, "I am the Lord's servant." Listen to her background, her view of religion, how she viewed what was expected of her as a Jewish girl, going up to the Passover and all these things, right? Deuteronomy 6, 4, these are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 quotations from the book of Deuteronomy. The Jews have been made their way out of Egypt. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years being disciplined for their bad behavior. And now they're getting ready to go in the promised land. And right here, Moses, in this these sermons, preaches this one precept. Listen to it. Deuteronomy 6:13. "Fear the Lord your God and serve him only and take your oaths in his name." Deuteronomy 10:12. Listen to the word, what the word is. "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul." Deuteronomy 10:20. "Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name." That was already read down. Deuteronomy 11:13. "So if you faithfully obey his command, these commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul," and it goes on. And finally, Deuteronomy 13:4. "It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him." How was Mary God's good girl? She was one, very simply, at the end of that, everything that's going to happen to you, simply says to God, what? "I am your servant. Be it done to me as you have said." "I am the Lord's servant" is the first phrase. "May it be to me as you have said." She is the heart of the entire, she's the best person in Judea at this moment. She's going to do exactly what God says, no matter the fact that she doesn't understand it all, no matter what it's going to cost her, big belly right in the middle of a society that's going to want to kill her, right? And then she's going to go on throughout her whole life. And if you read the story of Mary's life, as she follows her son, her Lord, she's going to end up at a point where her service to him is the moment when she's standing underneath his cross and she's looking up at his brutally mutilated, blood flowing from every cut on, dripping on the ground, and him saying to John, who's holding her up, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, you behold your mother." As he in that moment, has only one care on his mind. As part of all the other things he's doing, he's caring for her. And then in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14, she's right there in the middle of the apostolic remnant, 11 apostles, shortly to be. She casts a vote in the first congregational meeting to elect Judas's successor. And we would believe she's there on the baptism of the Holy Spirit 40 days later. And then she fades into obscurity. There's nothing more about her. She didn't become a queen. She didn't become a vendor of Christian stuff around Jerusalem, you know, pieces of the cross, all this kind of stuff, you know. And she did not become the Mother of God matriarch of any church. She fades right back into the lack into the obscurity out of which she came in the first instance, having done one thing that qualifies her forever as being God's good girl. She served him. You want to follow Mary? I would. I do. She's one of my heroes, heroines. In that, with what God wanted her to do revealed to her, she simply said, I am God's servant. Sign me up. I'm ready to go wherever it takes, whatever goes on. And the church history is marked for 2,000 years. The great advances of local churches, regional churches, national churches, is when people suddenly wake up and start thinking about being only God's servant and getting up every morning and going to their knees in their prayer time and opening the commander's book and spending time with him. All not to be knowledgeable, not because I want to be a big brain, because every word he speaks, I'm expecting any minute him to say, Mary, I've got something amazing I'm going to do with you. And you're favored in that choice I've made. And here's what it's going to be. And no matter what it's going to be, that I have prepared myself for that moment to say to him, I am your servant. Be it done to me according to your will. If I can do that, if you can do that, then at the judgment seat, there's going to be a whole lot of Christians, a whole lot of families, a whole lot of counties and cities and states and nations that are filled with the servants of God and whose lives and cultures and everything else have changed because that's what they're in the game to do. Simply to be God's servant in what it is he's favored them to do in their time today, even in this worship service. Father, help us to be like Mary, the example held out to us here, the lesson that you teach from her life is a simple faith, a simple assent to your will, coming from someone whom it was going to cost deeply throughout her life and in the end of her life. But for her, it evidently was very simple. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Father, may be that the response that comes forth from this congregation as people are thinking about what God wants them to do and be. And then tomorrow, may we go into our devotional exercises slightly frightened, but anticipating that we will know from you something you want done that simply requires a servant who will simply say, that's what I am, Lord. Please, may it be to me as you have said. Give us that kind of courage, courageous anticipation, and right-headedness as we worship you and as we put ourselves to serve you with all of our lives. For Jesus' sake and in his name, Lord, I pray. Amen.